This is this gentleman's spiritual father in the Lord. So you're the blame. Man, but hey, you take the credit. There's a lot to take credit for. Yeah. Amen. But Pastor Dale preached an amazing message last year. I mean, remember that message last year here in the house? It was awesome. Amen. Can you just leave us a word of exhortation real quick?
Oh, sure. Happy New Year. Let me pronounce a blessing upon you. Let the favor of our God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit abide upon you and keep you. May it motivate you and send you forth. May it thrust you into a harvest field and give you more souls than ever before. And let this become the greatest year of ministry for Bridge of Hope. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. And that blessing goes for all the other pastors in the house as well. Amen. We'll be greedy and take that one. Amen. Amen. Oh, amen. I mean, love Apostle Rick and Denon. It's better have Sister Debbie. Bless you. Amen. Come on, Rick. Just say, Lord, bless him as the man of God comes and shares the word. Amen. Love you, buddy. Amen. Take your time.
Wow, I feel like a pig in a mud hole. How about y'all? Feel right at home. Right at home. What a joy to be here. I thank God for Pastor Roy and Sister Tara and this wonderful leadership team here, and feel so glad to be back here. How many of you know it's been a wonderful year? Doesn't mean it's been problem free. How many of you know we might have been through a few things, but the good thing is we come through it. I was sitting there just a few minutes ago thinking about what a joy it is to be back again. I don't know how many years I've been coming ever New Year's Eve for a long time, and I was so glad to hear we's doing it again. Amen. So thankful for that. It's so good to be with you and all you pastors. I told people I've kind of quit pastoring and started pestering, and I don't get around to pester all of you as much as I'd like to. So just so good to see you. So good to have you. And of course, it's good to have my spiritual father here with me. Brother Yurton and Brother Parrish has absolutely deposited in me. How many of you know that none of us are who we are without the help of others? I told people that when I would go and preach, they'd say, we'd love for Brother Yurton to come. I said, he's already been here. I've preached about everything I've ever heard him say. Eh? But what a joy for them and what they put into my life. I've told people before, you take out what Brother Yurton and Brother Parrish put in me, I'm just a sweater walking around. But I really appreciate the input in my life that they have done. And in my family, how many of you know it changes your family? It doesn't just change you. I'm telling you. And if we're not able to submit to people, how many of you know you're at the apex of your ignorance right now? And it's not going to get any better. You're going to have to submit to somebody and let them correct you. How many of you know there's some things need to be correct? And I'm so thankful for their correction in my life. I was doing some things that would have destroyed things. Didn't know it till I got a daddy. Hebrews fact tells us that if we're not able to be corrected, we lose our legitimacy. We lose our inheritance. So I'm so thankful. Yeah, man. He brought me a seat. I liable to preach to midnight myself and give me this seat. But anyway, the Lord quickened something to my spirit I want to read to you before we go any farther, because this is how I feel about this year. When I recall in mind, therefore, the things that the Lord has done, I have hope. This is in Lamentations 3:21. For it is the Lord's mercy that we've not been consumed. It's because of his compassion that we've not failed. For these mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness, for the Lord is my portion. Saith my soul, therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those that wait upon him, those that seek after him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait
for the salvation of the Lord. I'm telling you, the Lord's been good to me. I said, He's been good to me. I've had to wait on Him a few times. How many of you know you need to learn to wait on the Lord? And wait doesn't mean just pull over and park. I know some people, they ain't done nothing in 10 years. They say they're waiting, but really they just parked. Waiting means diligently serving Him while waiting to hear from Him. And I just want to wait on Him. This is a new day. There's a new morning coming in the morning. There's a new season opening up. And the Lord's beginning to speak to me. I don't know how He speaks to other people. I'm always worried when I stand in front of preachers and tell them the Lord spoke to me. Because, you know, some people say the Lord tells them what color socks to put on every morning. It's not that way with me. I don't hear from Him that often like me. And when I do hear from Him, it takes me a while to figure out what He's saying. Anybody else like me? Thank you for you honest ones. Amen. But October, November, December, I take a time to pray and just to seek the Lord, because I believe it's important that we enter a new year with a new word. And I don't believe we can carry yesterday's manna. I believe it's got worms in it. We need a fresh word from God. And I want to know what the Lord's saying. How about you? I want to know what He's saying. And I was out praying. How many of you know He'll speak to you in unlikely times and unlikely places? And I'm just so afraid that I'll let my little pea brain get involved when He's trying to tell me something. I'll go to thinking about something else, you know. So I was out praying in just a natural day where I was riding around in my car. And I pulled on Highway 80 out of Murray, and the Lord spoke to me. And He spoke to me the scripture. I won't be able to put it up, because it's found in Joel chapter 2. And the Lord began to speak this word to me. I want you to listen to what He said. He said, I will restore the years that the locust has eaten, that the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And listen to this. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people will not be ashamed. And as I thought on that scripture, in fact, I'll tell you, Deb's here to verify it. I pulled over side of the road immediately. And I said to her, the Lord just spoke to me. He just spoke to me a word that this is going to be a year of restoration. It's going to be a year of restoration. And then I said to her, of impossible things. And the Lord said, I'm able to restore that that seems impossible to man, because I'm not man. I'm God. How many of you know what something, after something has been eaten and digested and disposed of, it's back to dust? And the Lord said, I'm able to restore that, because I made it all out of dust anyway. He says, some things look impossible to you, but do not bury what I've not declared dead. Don't give up. Look at your neighbor and say, hang in there like a hair in a homemade biscuit. Don't give up. Don't quit believing. Don't over top in your faith walk. Don't think it's over because somebody's convinced you it's over. Look at your neighbor and say, this year will be a year of restoration. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord's already started that process in me. Thank you for praying for me this year. It's been an amazing thing. I just went to the doctor a week or so ago. He told me, he said, well, you're improving again. He looked like he was slightly disappointed. I don't know what he was believing for, but he said, it just keeps happening. It just keeps happening. You just keep getting better. You just keep doing better. How many of you know that's God's plan for us? Just to keep getting better. He wants to restore. He wants to make you whole. I know the thoughts and the plans I have towards you, he said. Thoughts of good, not evil, to give you hope and an expected end. God's got some good stuff in mind for you. The enemy so many times tries to make us focus on events when God is in the process. Amen. God's doing something in us so he can do something for us, so he can do something for us. Amen. So he's working a work in you. This whole lesson began to open up to me, and I began to look at the life of Job. As we rode around, it was funny. I kept pulling over and telling Deb, pray for me that my brain don't get involved. Pray for me that I don't just get to thinking about stuff. I don't want to just think about stuff. I want to believe what God's speaking to me. And God began to speak some things to me about the life of Job. I began to see the book of Job in a realm that I'd never seen the book of Job before. How many of you know we can preach about the patience of Job, but I really don't want to learn the patience of Job? You can preach about the perseverance of Job, but I'm going to leave that to Job. I don't want to learn how to persevere. But what God began to speak to me was the end of the life of Job. And he said, I intended to bless Job double what he ever had before. That book's not about just patience and perseverance. It's about restoration, and not just restoration, but a double portion restoration. And God began to speak to me. You need to position yourself for restoration. Restoration doesn't just come. You got to position yourself for that. You got to get yourself ready. Look at your neighbor and like T.D. Jakes say, get ready, get ready, get ready. You got to position yourself where you can receive what God's wanting to do. Listen, I know we're in a season where people fast and pray, and many of us are seeking God. How many of you know fasting doesn't change God? It changes us so we can receive from him. I've seen some people fast like a hunger strike, you know. Like a kid at Walmart wanting M&Ms. How many of you know that it's really about getting your heart ready for what God wants to do? See, there's going to be some difficult things, and I'm going to share this whole word with you as much as I can release to you tonight. I can't tell you everything he spoke to me. I'll be honest. He's been speaking to me for a month and a half, but I'm going to tell you what I can tell you, and it's going to be enough to keep you busy. Amen? But what you need to understand is you got to position yourself to get back what God wants to give you back. And there's some lessons. I want to just kind of go through the book of Job. And I don't want to spend a lot of time today. I want to give you eight things the Lord began to give me. How many of you know eight's a number of new beginnings? Deb and I was in this service, and this guy preached the book of Job. I'm going to try not to do like him. He couldn't walk and talk literally at the same time. He would say a statement, and then he'd walk across the whole building. He'd get on the other side, and he'd yank his britches, and he'd make another statement about Job, and he'd walk over to the other side of the building, couldn't say a word on the trip, and he'd yank his britches on the other side. And he spoke for an hour and 45 minutes, and I leaned over to Debbie, and I said, I'll never be as happy when Job dies as... I'm going to try not to do that tonight. I'm going to try to just give you eight things that the Lord began to show me about Job. So we're not going to go through his whole childhood till he dies. And I'm going to try to walk and talk at the same time. Let me give you lesson one you need to learn from Job. Number one, trials are not an evidence of sin or wrongdoing. How many of you know some people try real hard, but they're still stupid? I started going through what I've went through, and people call me, brother. I always want to hang up. There's something inside of me. I just want to hang up. I know what's coming. Why is this happening to you, brother? Is there sin in your life? Well, I am contemplating murder right now. I guess there is. And I'm struggling with a spirit of slap. I guess that's two of them that I can confess right now. Listen to me, trials are not evidence you've done something wrong. In fact, trials are evidence you're doing something right. Someone asked Dr. Parrish one time, what's the evidence of the Holy Ghost? He said, two T's, tongues and trouble. Tongues and trouble. How many of you know, you start walking against the current, you're going to feel it. And if you don't ever meet the devil, you might be walking alongside him. How many of you know, if you're walking in a different direction, you're going to meet him sometime. You're going to experience trials. You're going to have difficulties. But you remember what the Lord said about Job. He's a perfect man. Upright. He fears me. And eschews evil. I've heard people try to talk about why God tested Job. They ought to read that right there. Amen. Job was a perfect man. Everybody say perfect man. See, listen, if you're going through hardship, don't take that there's something wrong in your life. That's the devil trying to get you to run around. Listen, let me tell you something I've noticed about the devil. If he can't get one of by the sin, he'll get you to buy the guilt. Because either one of them will hinder your progress. And a lot of us are carrying guilt for things we didn't even do. That's good right there. That's helping me. I don't want to walk around in guilt when Jesus has already set me free. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Don't let the enemy get you caught up in guilt and feeling sorry for yourself. It will get you out of position for restoration. Do you hear me? It'll get you loaded down. It'll get you looking down instead of looking up and believing God to restore. It's important to get a hold of that. It's not an evidence of sin or wrongdoing in your life. Number two, and you need to get a hold of this, the trial is always about your faith. The devil wants you broke. Don't misunderstand me. He wants you sick. He wants you destroyed. But what he really wants is your worship. Are you hearing me? The battle is about your faith. What you're going to believe when everything else tells you a different report. I love this. I love this. See, the devil even said, do you think Job's just serving you for naught? Listen, you've been good to him. You've been good to him. Listen, he knows you've been good to him. See, it's about where you're going to place your faith in difficulty. I always love it because God gives you a word in your lowest point. How many of you have noticed that? And when he speaks, he doesn't lick his finger and stick it in there and see what the atmosphere is saying. And he doesn't even see what the circumstances is saying. He doesn't even see what professionals are saying. Because he sees what you can't yet see. I remember, it's been 10 years since a doctor told me I was dying while he was talking to me. In fact, he's retired. I'm not sure he's still alive. But I'm still here tonight. Because he spoke to me and said, you need to talk to your family. They're out there in the waiting room. He done talked to them. They looked like basset hounds when I got out there. Just sad little faces. But the Lord spoke to me in that room and said, you're not going to die. I'm going to raise you up. And the doctor said, you're dying. You're dying while I'm talking to you. Your body's shutting down. If you're going to say anything to your family, say it to them now. And I said, I'm not dying. And he said, yeah, you are dying. I said, no, I'm not dying. Because the Lord just gave me a word, said I'm not dying. And I'm not trying to be, you know, disrespectful to you with all your intelligence. But the Lord said to me, the Lord said to me, I wouldn't die. How many of you know we need a word from God? We don't need the opinion of everybody and their brother. We need to know what thus saith the word of God. That's what you hang on to. Well, I remember coming out. My family was weeping and crying, eyes red down to their chin. I said, what's wrong with y'all? And they looked at me like, don't you know? My boy said, I want to stay all night with you, Dad. He confessed stuff I'm not even sure he did. Kept saying to me, Dad, before you die, I want to tell you something else. I'm like, okie dokie. I waited till he got through with all the news. I was getting kind of sleepy. He said, before you die, I said, I'm not dying. I'm not dying. And he said, Dad, they said you're dying. I said, I don't care what they said. He said that I ain't dying. That's what he said. I said, so I don't want to hear no more about this baloney. He said around there a few minutes, said, Dad, before you die, I said, listen to me. If you don't hush, somebody's dying. But it ain't me. Do you hear me? It ain't me. I ain't dying. Because the Lord said, listen to me. The enemy will try to convince you to surrender your faith to something else. But I'm here to tell you, as they say in Harlan County, root hog or die, I'm in it for the long haul. Amen? I am with Jesus to the very end. And I won't die 1 minute before he says I will. I don't care if every doctor in the world says it simultaneously like the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. I don't care. Jesus has the final word. I said, Jesus has the final word in my life. And I'm not going to surrender my faith to an opposite report. So you better understand, it's not about what you've done wrong. It's not even about what you're going through. It's about your faith. Where's your faith going into 219? Where's your faith? Who's your faith in? Better be asking those questions. Number three, God is the source. I say, God is the source of my protection, my blessing, and my provision. You love. You know, I appreciate what you gave me tonight, the offering you gave. I know you love me. I was praying for you while you were coming that God would bless you and return it to you a hundredfold. And I just thank God for you. I thank God for your love. I thank God for your gift. But I'm going to tell you something. God is my source. God is my only source. Man can only be a resource. God is my source. Did you know his name is Abba? Did you know the name Abba means source and sustainer of all things? Did you know he's the source of everything? Every good, every perfect gift comes from him. In whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He ain't only good. He's always good. And he's always got a supply. I get tickled. I like to go to the altar. I don't really pray good in a corporate setting. That's why I had to go out in my car and get away from everybody. Turn into Bubble Boy. I turn my phone off. Can't nobody find me. And I just pray because when I get around other people, I'm nosy. Now, I'm buying into that. I've been telling my wife for years I'm observant. She says I'm nosy. If I go to a restaurant, I tell you what they're talking about at every table. Because it served me real good in Harlan County. If you've ever been up here, you better open your ears. But anyway, when I go to the altar and people's praying, sometimes I forget I'm up there praying too. I just eavesdrop. And by your laugh, I could tell you do too. But anyway, I like to listen in and see what they say. Sometimes I want to correct them. They don't say that. I've heard people say stuff like this. Lord, if you just got one blessing. It's a word that I use for that. Two words, in fact. Stupid. Listen. God ain't rationing out and the skillet's out. Listen, he's got a supply unlimited. Are you hearing me? He's got a source of everything you will ever need. The word salvation is soteria. It means every conceivable need that man can conjure up. He's more than that. He's my source. He's my sustainer. He's my provision. He's my protection. He's my blessing. and my blesser. He's my reward. He's my portion. He's my friend. He's my righteousness. He's my peace. He's my joy. He's my salvation. Hallelujah. I'm about to get happy feet. He's all that and more. And even the devil had to sign off on that. He said, ain't no wonder he's serving you, because you blessed him every way he turns. Coming in and going out, you've blessed him. You've always been good to him. Ain't no wonder he's serving you. How many of you can join and say, yeah, he's been that same way to me. He's been good to me. He's been good to me. Number four, and you need to get a hold of this. Don't ever stop worshiping God. In the midst of the struggle in Job chapter 1, verse 20, it says, in the middle of this, Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down on the ground, and worshiped God. I want to tell you that my spiritual son, Damien Pranuk, has been diagnosed with multiple myeloma, bone cancer. And they put him in a hospital. And I just feel like the Lord's going to restore him. Because he spoke his word to me. He's going to restore him. I mean, every know he made him start with. He can do whatever he wants to. Just believing for God to restore him. But yesterday morning, boy, I got blessed. As we were sitting there in church, he's our worship leader. He's from Argentina. I love to hear him worship. He always says, Jesus is still on the throne. I got to where I like it myself. I know he's still on the throne. Amen. But we looked and the door opened up and here he come out on stage. Picked up his guitar and said, this is a time to war and to worship. And boy, he led our church in worship. You talking about some happy campers. I'm telling you, they were everywhere in that building. You hear me? Listen, I don't care what you're going through. He's still worthy. I don't care what difficulty you're facing. He's still worthy. He's still worthy of every breath we ever breathe. He's still worthy of our worship. And Job, in the midst of it, would not stop worshiping God. And that's what you need to do. My brother Rick, you don't know what. Listen, I don't even care what you're going through. You need to worship God. He's the only one get you out of it. Need to learn to worship him. Worship him regardless of your situation. Because there's one thing that Jesus is not wringing his hands about, and that's your situation. He's able to change it. Don't stop worshiping. Look around your neighbor and say, don't quit worshiping. This next thing's really important. Don't blame God when things happen. I get amazed. People say, well, why did God do that? I'm going to say, do you believe there's a God? Well, yeah, I believe there's a God. I said, well, then you need to start believing there's a devil. There's four words that help you in 19, and it'll help you on into 20 and on and on. Four words. Say them with me. Good God, bad devil. That's good theology right there. Don't blame God for evil deeds. I love this. This jumped off the page at me, Pastor Roy. Job 1:23. In all this, everybody say this. Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost up in here. Don't foolishly charge God with evil. Yeah, there's some things happened to you. Sure, you've been through some stuff. We all have. But how many of you know God is a good God? He's always a good God. Boy, don't charge him with evil. Amen. Say it again. Good God. Bad devil. Where's good things come from? Where's bad things come from? Yeah, I think you got it straight. So don't charge God with that. Don't charge God with that. Why? Because it will get you out of position for the restoration he's wanting to bring to you. Now, here's something you need to practice that first thing on, because the second thing's coming. Never blame God for evil things and reject all foolish accusations of people. Because they're going to come. Your friend's going to come like Job's friends. How many of you know you got friends like that? You don't need any enemies. There's going to be those people show up. They're going to accuse you. And it's going to be relentless. How many of you know most of the book of Job's about these three nuts? And they're trying to get Job to buy into this every way they can. Did you know that they come to him 10 times? Did you know they speak to him 10 times? You know why? Because 10 is a number of testing. That's why there was 10 commandments to test Israel. That's why there was 10 plagues to test Egypt. That's why Nehemiah was tempted 10 times. That's why Job was tempted 10 times. That's why you need to tithe 10%. Because it's a test of whether or not you can handle the bless. If you can't handle the test, how many of you know you ain't going to handle the bless? 10 is important. I said 10 is important. You need to understand this. So these comforters come 10 times. They try to get him to buy into the guilt. They try to get him to believe that he's the one guilty. And every time he held his peace. He didn't respond to them. How many of you know you don't have to respond to everybody? I was the 14th child born in my family. Can you imagine how many times my mama been asked why? Y'all remember when your kids were 2 years old, why? You'd answer the question, why? You know, and you just want to choke them, say, hey, listen, I'm going to send you on to Jesus. I can't take another why. And I remember going in my house and my mama was standing there cooking. She was always either at the washing machine or at the stove. That's the only place she could go, bless her heart. All them nod heads. And I'd ask her something, and she wouldn't even quit staring. She wouldn't even quit staring. And I'd ask her again. She wouldn't even quit staring. And finally, I'd say, Mama, do you hear me? I'd do that 3 or 4 times. And finally, she'd say, I wish I didn't. But I hear you. I just wish I didn't. See, sometimes the devil will try to convince you he deserves an answer. Listen, you can ask any question you want to. I choose whether or not I answer. And not everything's worthy of an answer. In fact, that's what Proverbs say. You don't argue with a fool because people get confused which one he is. Sometimes people don't deserve an answer. You just need to hold your peace. And especially when they're speaking contrary to what God's already told you. And I've had people tell me, I know God said this, but I think, or I know God says this, what do you think? I think maybe I'm not smart enough to second guess God. If God's already spoke that. And see, these guys come to talk Job out of being positioned for restoration. Listen to me. You can listen to the wrong people. I had a lady come in for counseling. It's kind of funny because, you know, usually when people come for counseling, it's because they missed a message on Sunday. Or at least that's what I think. I usually just quote what I preach when they wasn't there. But anyway, she said, I'm confused. And I said, what are you confused for? And she said, because I've been to 19 people. See, the hard thing about ministry is not laughing out loud in people's face. But anyhow, I thought to myself,
Now, I had the right to remain silent. Unfortunately, I didn't use it. But anyhow, I looked at her and I said, you're lucky you ain't suicidal. If you went to 19 doctors and took all their pills, you go on to a funeral home. Listen, I know there's safety in listening to the counselor, but you need to have wise counsel. Just remember this and say it to your neighbor. Your advice is only as good as your advisor. That'll help you right there. Amen. Don't listen to foolish people and buy into their nonsense. They don't know what you've been through. And it's funny, they show up when the harvest come. They wasn't there when the plowing started. But they'll come tell you what you should have done back when you could have done, what you would have done. They can tell you all that stuff. But they didn't fight your battles. They didn't see your God perform a miracle. They don't know what they're talking about. Are you listening to me? Don't let them have the final word in your life. They'll talk you out of your restoration. Are you listening? Very, very important stuff I'm telling you here. Very important. Don't take the word of a fool. Listen to what the Lord said to you. All of this leads up to these last two points I want to give you. Don't relinquish your faith. Don't relinquish it. I said, don't relinquish it. Just keep holding on. Just keep holding on to God. I love what Job says. It's a turning point in his life in Job chapter 13, verse 15. He said, though he slay me. Everybody say, though he slays me. Yet will I trust him. And listen, and I'll maintain my own way before him. I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. Pastor Roy said something important. What would you do if God used this year to strip you? What if he chose you for a battle you don't think you're ready to fight? See, listen, sometimes what looks really, really bad is actually really, really good. April the 4th, I was just minding my own business. They put me in a hospital 2 weeks before then. I was feeling really good. Honestly, I was feeling really good. And they told me, you're really bad. I'm like, I feel really good. They said, you better go to Nashville because you're really bad. So I went to Nashville. And I told my wife, I said, I don't know why I'm down here. Ended up going through surgery. But let me tell you just a couple things happened. Woman come in my room first night I was there. And the Lord had me speak to her about him. I spoke to her about him. She started crying. She sat down on the side of my bed. She sat in my room talking about the Lord so long that they called her from the nurse's station and said, you got other patients besides that one guy in there. Another all night long I got to share it with her. Next morning another one come in and God opened up another door and I ended up sharing with her. Found out she'd just been reading the Bible for 13 days. Wanted to know if I knew anything about the Bible. I said, well, I've picked it up a time or two. I know a little bit about it. And she come in, I started teaching her and she started being blessed and she told her nurse that had led her to Christ and had her in the Bible for 13 days, said, you need to meet this guy. Look what he showed me about the book of John. She shared the 21 portraits of Jesus. And lo and behold, that afternoon, the other nurse come in and said, listen, you've taught her too much. She's ahead of me now. So you're going to have to teach me some stuff. And so I started teaching her. Are you listening to me? Then it come my day of surgery, and God was working all that for my good. And while I was in surgery, Damien, the guy I was telling you about, led 25 people to Jesus down Centennial Hospital while I was having surgery. When I woke up, he was standing beside my bed going, 2-5. I didn't know what he's talking about. God still on the throne. I'm like, yeah, he's on the throne. Thank God he's on the throne. 25 people come to Jesus. What are you saying? I go down there again for that, Chris. Are you hearing me? Though he slays me, I'll cause me. I'll maintain my ways before him. Nothing's going to cause me to relinquish my faith. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm in it for the long haul. Lord, have mercy. Mm-mm-mm. Let's go to the last point.
Expect restoration. I said expect it. Expect it. Why? Because it'll come when you expect it. God will do what he says he'll do. Are you listening to me? I love this. Now, in the Lord blessed the latter years of Job even more than the beginning. And if you read the comparative study, the parallel study of Job's life in the beginning and in the end, you realize he has double everything he lost. See, it's not just about his trial. It's about his reward. It's not just about what he went through in the beginning. It's about what he received in the end. Are you listening to me? See, God wants to restore. God wants to restore. I go back to my own. I used to apologize for personal references, but that's the only one I've realized I have. I don't have no other reference. But I remember when God was, I did wake up and the doctor said he wasn't going to happen. And God raised me back up. And for 5 years I did wonderful, never had any problem. And then all of a sudden I had a problem again. And my heart function went back down to 19. And I remember when it went back down to 19, the doctor told me, said, "Now it ain't going to restore this time." And I said, "Okay." I said, "Who told you that?" He said, "I'm telling you that." He said, "It's at 19%. The best you can hope for, if you really work at it, is about 21%. I said, "Okay." And I said, "When will I come back?" He said, "About 3 months." I went back in 3 months. It was 33%. Yeah. Did you know he never said a word? That bird never said a word. I thought he was any minute going to apologize. He didn't say a word. So he said, "I need you back here in 3 more months. Went back in 3 months at 35%. That's when he apologized and said, "I didn't know what I was talking about." Raised back up. Went back his time. He was back down 21%. They said, "Now listen, you've done used your spare tire." Really? You know what it was the other day? 35%. Going back up again. I don't even believe. You know what he told me when I left? He said, "I don't even believe it's maxed out yet." I said, "I don't either." He said, "I believe it's going to even be better." Are y'all listening to me? Who has a final word? When my son was born, they told me, said, "He's not going to live. You need to get your chin up. He's not going to make it." Cord's been wrapped around his neck for 14 hours. He's blue as a smurf. He ain't going to make it. "And if he does make it," he said, "he'll be a vegetable the rest of his life." And my mama was there. My mama was 5'3", standing up or laying down. She's just a little block of a woman. She prayed in the spirit for hours on end. She grabbed me by the arm and said, "That's enough news. Let's go in here." And we walked into a landing of a hospital. You know what she said? She said, "He's practicing. We know the great physician. And the final word ain't come yet." She took me by the hand and started praying in the Holy Ghost like the place was empty and belonged to her. 35 minutes, they come up to step with this little blue-looking creature. They tested him out, and he was perfect. He went all the way through school, leading his class. He's my pastor now. We've told him how smart he is. He believes it now. Be careful. What are you saying? I'm saying you're going to believe something. Why don't you believe God? You're going to put your faith in something. Why don't you put your faith in Him? Why don't you believe His word to be true? Why don't you stand on His promises? Oh, God, help us. I want to give you the whole word, and then I want to give you an invitation to come. I appreciate Brother Chris giving me this chair, but I didn't just want to use it tonight because I just feel so good. But here's the word the Lord spoke to me. This will be a year of restoration of things that appear impossible with man. For I am not man, I'm God. I will restore to you the years that because it's eaten the canker worm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, that great army I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you. And my people will never, everybody say never, be ashamed. Trust me, even in the very face of difficulty. And know that I'm still able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than you can ask or think. For this will be the year of my favor in your life. Keep your eyes on me, and I will turn your situation around for my glory. What are you saying, Rick? I'm saying this is a year of restoration. I thought of what Pastor Roy said. I'm greedy. I want to take everything he speaks to me. I've had some people say, well, I don't believe that. I'm like, Lord, I'll take their portion. I'll take their portion. Listen to me. I don't know what you've lost. I don't know if it's financial. I don't know if you've lost your kids and they're in a pig pen somewhere. I don't know if your marriage is on the rocks. I don't know if your health has been damaged. I don't know what you're struggling with. I just know this. He's a redeemer. He's a restorer. He's still able. I don't care what the problem is. I know who the answer is. He's still able. So right now, as you close your eyes and just meditate on where you are, realize that what I read to open this message tonight, when I recall the goodness of God, hope rises inside of me. And I know that regardless of what I faced yesterday, His mercy is new every morning. And it'll be worth my while to wait on the Lord of my salvation. If you're here and you know exactly what I'm talking about, you've lost something important to you. Whatever it is and whatever dimension it's in, I want you to lift your hand right now. Brother Rick, I need God to restore some stuff to me. I need God to restore some stuff the enemy has stolen. How many of you have tried to be convinced by the enemy that it's too late for that? It's too late for that to be restored. It's not going to happen to you. I'm telling you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Are you listening to me? Do not declare dead what the Lord has not declared dead. Don't bury the things that He's not declared dead. He's able to raise them up. You need to understand that. If that's you and you lifted your hand, stand to your feet right now. And in doing so, you're saying, I believe it's going to be restored. I don't believe it's over yet. In fact, can you hear that? Come out of your seat. Just walk down the aisle. How many of you know if Jesus was at the front, you'd be here to greet Him, wouldn't you? He is. He's here right now. Just step out. And every step, just say, He's going to restore. He's going to restore the things the enemy's trying to steal from me. He's going to restore them fourfold. He's going to bring them back. He's going to restore even things that look impossible. He's going to restore. He's going to restore. He's going to restore. He's going to restore. How many out there in the congregation, He's already restored things in your life? Can I see your hand? Scoot on up here behind these people. Lay your hand on their back just as an assurance that He's still a restorer of broken dreams.
It's who you are. It's I'm loved by you. It's who I am. I'm It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are.
Pastors,
it's who you
if you would come up and saints, come up and join these people in prayer today, would you? Let's believe God to restore. Let's make a line in the sand in the spirit. Say, I believe in God. I believe in God. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Come on up and pray. Let's believe God.
Loved by you.
It's who I am.
It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father.
It's who you are.
It's who you are.
It's who you are.
It's who you are. It's who I am.
It's who I am.
It's who I am.
It's who I am.
And you are perfect in all of your ways. All of your ways, you are perfect in all of your ways. To us,
sing it through
us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways.
One more time, he's perfect.
And you are perfect in all of your ways.
Hello.
You are perfect in all of your ways.
Hey,
you are perfect in all of your ways. You're a good, good Father.
You're a good, good Father.
It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Worship him.
It's who I am.
You're perfect.
Oh, you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us.
Sing it again.
And you are perfect in all.
Lord, you're perfect.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. Who you are.
Let's just lift our hands to him, church. God is restoring. Restoration. Restoration. Just lift up your hands. Receive the word of the Lord tonight.
Good, good Father.
Yes,
it's
Lord.
It's who you are. It's who you
Jesus.
Are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you.
Father, we grab a hold of your word tonight.
Hallelujah. It's who I am. Who
Father, we pray for restored families.
You're a good
in 2019. Father, we prophesy restoration of marriages. Father, restoration of health, physical health, oh God. Father, bring the prodigal daughters and sons home. Hallelujah.
You are perfect in all of your ways.
Let us position ourselves for restoration. Hallelujah.
You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Oh, and you are perfect in all of your ways.
Yes.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to
was not finished
it's
yet.
Who you are.
Right where you're standing,
you are.
Just continue to pour it's out to the Lord.
By you.
Hallelujah.
It's who I am. It's who I am.